Guys, welcome to The Pulse. And I'm excited about this show, as I am so many, because we've got somebody whose music and talent I've been appreciating for years. I don't know where we start. She's got multiple Grammys and nominations. She's got her own radio show, reality TV show, millions and millions of albums sold, both as a part of a group, a duet, and now as a solo artist. Kinda, because I'm not even sure if we just call you the solo artist, because Mary never really stops. Erica Campbell is our guest today on The Pulse. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you so much for that wonderful introduction. I'm honored to be here today.
I appreciate it. It's a lot. Like, we don't even have to stretch like your introduction. There's some people you talk to and you're like, they're really talented at what they do.
But, yes, I do lots of things. Lots of things.
You performed at the Super Bowl. Like, what haven't you done?
Let's see.
What's on the bucket list?
I just did Carnegie Hall last year, so that was amazing. I'm doing the Kennedy Center this year, so that's amazing. I still have to do a world tour. World domination is still on the bucket list.
Okay. All right. So when you're on the world domination tour, that's when you'll come back and we'll have you as another interview.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. It's a commitment. You've said it to people. So now we're going to roll with that.
Absolutely. Have to do it. Got to get it done.
So we all know you. Everyone knows you for a lot of different reasons. But I want to take a step back to some of the stuff we may not know. How did you even get started with this? You were kind of born into the church, the gospel background. But how'd you get started?
Oh, well, of course, started singing in church. When it began to get professional, my church choir won the McDonald's Gospel Fest in 1990. And we recorded an album and we went to Norway and performed and did an album over there. And we had something called Choir Night that was every first Sunday night. And so everybody from the city would come and we began to get this following. And I knew that singing was what I wanted to do for the rest of my life, not just because of the audience, but because I was able to bless lives, encourage people. You know, you saw them cry, but you saw them be filled with joy and hope and expectation of what their life could become because of faith. So my opportunity to sing is greatly connected to my desire to share my faith with people, because faith gives you hope. And I've wanted that since I was a little girl. So I just kept going. And every door that God opened, it grew from singing in stage plays to singing background and then eventually becoming an artist myself.
So it was singing at a very young age, and you knew you wanted to do this and you love this, but it was also singing gospel and spreading the gospel. That was always your background too.
Yeah, absolutely. Just because faith was it was so big in my house. My dad was like the coolest preacher ever. So he was like the preacher for the bad guys in the neighborhood. You know, if they had problems, they would come to Elder Atkins, and he would pray for them and he would talk with them. Or if girls were struggling with certain things outside of the church, they would come and talk to my mom. So I learned early on that faith could reach the regular person, the everyday person. I didn't grow up in the kind of church where we shunned people or made them feel bad if they did wrong. Because if I'm telling you about this gracious, loving God, then I need to accept people who don't know him and don't live like they know him. So from early on, I always wanted my music to reach the unchurched. Thus, my music gets played in clubs and all kinds of places.
Absolutely. And we're going to get to that. We're going to explore that, because that's a blessing, but it also came with challenges. Which I would imagine, though, and I'm just using my own experience and some of the churches that we have here in Philadelphia who do similar things. Mm-hmm. You know, reaching out to people who are I mean, this is going to get me in trouble, but not the church going kind of standard crap. Right. You're reaching out to the people who probably need the gospel. You're going past the choir.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but we're critical of that.
It's crazy, because if you read the Bible, then you know that's exactly what Jesus did, right? He got in trouble for talking to the woman at the well who had multiple husbands. He got in trouble for talking with someone who was a tax collector. And those were the crooked guys in that day. Well, kind of this day too, nevertheless.
Right.
He spoke to those who didn't know who he was, right? The well don't need a physician, the sick do. right? Light works best in darkness. So I need to take who I am and what I know and this joy that I have to people who don't have it, who haven't had it for a long time, and share it with them. And that's the kind of faith I grew up with, from my parents to my pastor. Even when it came time for me to sing background, and I was singing with Brandy and Brian McKnight, it was my pastor who said, I know we usually tell you guys don't listen or sing secular music, but I feel like you're supposed to be there. And I believe it was because of what I'm doing today, reaching the unchurched, reaching the lost with this amazing life-changing love.
How'd you break through? Because you talked about kind of the background singing. If my research is correct, you were also writing songs, you know, that some pretty big names were recording even before you were, you know, you.
Yes.
Always you, but before you were the you that we all know. So how did you break through? How did it become your thing and your opportunity, your voice?
Well, we got our publishing deal with EMI, that's now Sony ATV, and we wrote for soundtracks and Yolanda Adams and, you know, Prince of Egypt and Dr. Dolittle and all these, Stuart Little, all these big mainstream movies. And then we wrote Shackles.
Yep.
And that was supposed to be for a music soundtrack for the Prince of Egypt, but we kept it for ourselves. And I unfortunately don't have this hard luck story where I was taking my music around place to place to place. We wrote Shackles. The first person who wanted it was Diddy.
Okay.
We flew to New York to meet with Bad Boy, and then we met with Columbia, and we knew that Columbia was the right place. The song came out. It went number one, top five in the world. Still one of the biggest songs that I've had. Like, I can be in a grocery store and hear Shackles, in a shopping mall and hear it. So it happened fairly quickly, but the thing about it happening quickly is you have to keep up with it. And the thing that I have to keep up with is sharing this good news. So I'm not trying to keep up with the charts or a big interview or any awards. I'm trying to keep up with the fact that there's always somebody whose heart is hurting. There's always someone who's broken, who needs a message of hope. And so if I just keep my mind there, then I just keep putting out songs that will serve that purpose and encourage that heart. And it's been working for me all these years. And so I'll just stay on that path, and I won't focus on the accomplishments. While I'm very, very grateful for them, I won't focus on, you know, how many records sold and all the things that I do, but I'll focus on the lives that are changed, because that's when you really know that you're making a difference. When you meet someone and they tell you, I was battling this disease and I listened to your music and I'm walking in my healing now because I held on to this song as a connective faith piece to help me get through it. Yeah. Those are the things that kind of really matter. And I really believe that that is the key to success. That's why I'm still here today. That's why my music is still being played in all the places that it's played, that I'm super grateful for. I don't take it for granted. I'm very humbled by it. And I think when you live to serve people, there will always be an avenue for you.
Fun fact, I used to host as a intern coming out of college. They wanted me to do all the other stuff at this radio station that my father managed. And the exchange for me doing everything else was that I got to host a Sunday evening motivational, inspirational show. And Shackles was my theme song.
Really?
And wow. I don't even know why. I just knew I loved it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it's...
You know, songs have that energy that move you, and you don't know why it makes you feel better. And I believe that that is the faith, the hope, the love, you know? That's the God in the music. That's connecting you to the creator, that's always empowering and always gives you energy and always motivates you.
We're talking about, so was it always that for you? Because we're talking about Shackles, and I think, again, research. Shackles was, at one point, was number one gospel, top five R&B, top 10 pop charts, all at the same time. Yeah. And if you listen to the song, as much as people enjoy it in all different genres of music, the message in your music never changed, even when it was different groups, you know, who were appreciating it. So you never really wavered on what you wanted to do with the music, even as everyone else was kind of embracing it.
Nah, never. I remember being asked, you guys should sing something else. You're so successful. Everybody's paying attention to you. Sing R&B, sing pop. And this is going to sound bad, but I don't mean it to. I said, did I win a Grammy with Shackles? Did we go platinum talking about Jesus?
Right.
Then that's what I'm going to talk about. And we never wavered, and we never changed. It's always been that for me.
Did you take heat for it? Because I read some of the things, you know, this was, you never wavered. But on one side, you have people who are saying, you need to sing R&B, you need to be, you know, secular music. On the other side, you right. have people going,
it's not gospel enough. Right, right. Yeah. There was a pastor who was telling people, don't sing Mary, Mary in my church. I just feel like, okay, it won't be played in that church. The world is big. We'll be all right. And so I was never, it hurt my feelings sometimes, because knowing that I grew up a church girl, yeah. when you see other people that do what you do and supposedly serve the God that you serve, you think that they would recognize you. But, you know, everybody has their view, and that's okay. We won't see each other the same. I always say I will sing to the corner of the earth that I've been assigned to. And I feel like God has given me a pretty big piece to sing to. So for those who don't know and don't get it, God bless you. Yeah. So, I mean, what can I do? I can't come and make you change your mind. And what would that do anyway? If that's what you want to believe, have at it, buddy.
But you know what? And part of the reason I love this show and getting a chance to kind of talk to people about behind the scenes things that we don't often get to hear about, or we may not understand. Mm-hmm. I don't understand that. Now, there are people in the past who I've seen people question that that ain't gospel. You're not doing the wrong thing. You're spreading mm-hmm. the wrong message. And yeah. part of that is because they did go off and sing secular music or R&B, you know, for better or worse. I don't mm-hmm. understand why you got the heat, because, again, the message never changed. Why? Tell me why.
Because every church is different. Everybody grows up different. Everybody has a different understanding, you know? And this happens in every single field. In hip hop, there's some hip hop artists that'll say this hip hop isn't legit hip hop, right? You have somebody in the fashion world and maybe they don't follow all the rules. And so they say, well, you're not really in the fashion world because you're not doing it this way. Someone will always take ownership and believe that it should all look cookie cutter. But what I love about the God that I serve and the God that I know is he didn't make clones, right? Mm-hmm. We don't speak the same language. We don't go to the same churches. We don't sing the same songs, right? There's some people who like country, some people who like jazz, some people who like my style of gospel, and that is totally fine. You will always have that in the world. People will always be fighting for or trying to decide what is authentic and what isn't. And when you know that, then it doesn't hurt my feelings. I just know that people are being people in every field. There's some news shows will say this news show isn't a good news show because they don't talk about this, you know, or this cooking show, they don't cook this show, this type of food. So, you know, it's life. It's going to happen on the playground. It's going to happen in the pulpit. It's going to happen in politics and everywhere else. So when your eyes are not on the people, then that kind of stuff doesn't bother you. Now, this is grown, mature.
Well, and Erica, I was just about to ask you, both you and I.
Young Erica. Young Erica right. didn't feel like this. Young Erica was trying to convince people and, please, I just want you to know who I am. And then when they didn't right. change their mind, then I start going, oh, okay, I'll just keep singing.
Okay, so and that's what I was going to go with, because both you and I, we're grown now, you know, yes. and at grown now, you know, yes. hopefully, and I still don't always love the social media or the things that people put out there, but you're much more capable of handling it now.
Absolutely.
But baby Erica.
I had a former manager that said, if you're going to take the praise, you can't disregard the negativity. You know what okay. I mean?
Yeah.
Like if you're going to, because people go to social media for this kind of dopamine, kind of feel good, you know, who liked the picture, who made the comment. If you're going to read the good, you have to know that the bad is there too, right? And you have to be very balanced in that sense, right? Because one comment says, I love you, you're great. The next comment says, it's subpar, go back to Mary, Mary. We don't like you by yourself. One of the first comments that I ever got was, my first solo song was A Little More Jesus. The mm-hmm. comment was, you don't need a little more Jesus. Honey, you need a little more Tina, because you're just the cute one. She's the singer.
Wow.
I just kept singing.
Wow.
And you know, of course, it stung a little bit. I just kept singing and won a Grammy for the album. And then the album stayed number one for 13 weeks. Right. So had I gotten depressed about this one person and this one comment, then I would have got off of my path of purpose. Because someone who didn't believe, you're always going to have someone who does not believe,
yeah.
right? And what can you do?
Yeah.
Nothing. So keep living, keep singing, keep serving, keep creating, whatever your thing is, whatever you do, keep doing that. with all the passion that you have enough dealing with your own thoughts. You know what I mean? The times I question myself, the times that I, you know, wonder, is it good enough? Will I be good enough without the people? I can't add their negativity to my questions. That's too much. We wouldn't be able to handle it. So I fill myself with as much confidence as I can, look myself in the mirror, write my affirmations, speak positively to myself about myself, and go out and try to change the world.
You're empowering, you're motivating. I love, you know, that whole concept, because I'm thinking about like how, you know, I cried my last tear yesterday, and I'm just kind of going back and the impact that some of your songs had on me. And I'm sure all of the people who were watching.
Yes.
But then you think about like the person who's sitting in the room hearing, even if it's five of those types of criticisms, you're going, wow, I'm singing about keep the faith, keep going forward. You've cried your last tear. God's got you. And this person's hating on me. That's like, what?
I mean, it's the same way LeBron could be winning the game and one of the commentators is going to be ripping him to shreds. You know what I mean? Like it goes with life. Someone will love what you do. Someone will not. I can't pay attention to that. Yeah. Those things are, they are designed to distract you. Mm-hmm. And the strong ones know how to overcome that. The talented ones who believe in themselves, regardless of what people say, will keep going. You know, but when you need to build your self-esteem a little bit, you might be distracted by it. It will sting. I'm not saying that it doesn't.
But keep going.
But you've got to keep going. You'll never get to greatness if you stop.
At what point did you realize, I mean, you had a reality show, you have a radio show, you know, you've done a lot of things that people could define as, in some ways, and I don't want to make this too big and put all this on your shoulders, but it kind of changed gospel as we saw it at a certain point. You know, it changed the way music was being received. It changed what was accepted. It changed doing a reality show.
Yes.
At what point did you realize, like, wow, like we're bigger than singers. I'm bigger than a singer. My message is getting out there. I'm actually having this type of new impact.
I don't know if I looked at myself as big in that way. Okay. I've always been joyfully surprised. Because I always prayed for big things. You can't pray for big things and then when they come, be surprised that they're there. I asked for it. And if I believe that God hears my prayers and answers my prayers, then I have to be more thankful than surprised. When I was doing the solo record and I first started, I made a promise to myself to not say that. How do you feel, Erica? I didn't want to say, I'm so shocked. I'm joyfully surprised because I put in the work. I have a great team. I did what I was supposed to do. And I think that hard work is rewarded. Now, the way God works, he's always going to exceed your expectations. He's always going to add something that you didn't know was going to be in there. You know, some of the opportunities that have come have blown my mind because I just, you know, you pray for it, but you go, will it happen?
Right.
When will it happen? How long will it take to happen? It happens when it's supposed to. And when it does, I'm always joyfully surprised.
You think that people are, again, research. So people went looking for drama when it wasn't Mary Mary and you decided you're going to go off and do a solo career. Oh. And it was everything that you read was, it got to be drama there. Her and her sister don't get along anymore. This is the end of Mary Mary. This and everything I read that you said was, that's my sister. Like we're good. Like I'm just going off doing something else. So for the haters and people out there, it was never drama. It was just life.
It was regular sister drama.
Okay.
Like she said something I don't like and we fuss about it. And then after that, you come over and eat some tacos.
Right.
You know what I mean? But a little more Jesus. Tina wrote on that song on her solo record. I'm actually singing backgrounds on the song. So when her record came out, she came on my show and I helped her promote it. Any concert that I had where she was there, she would come to it. My first big performance at the Gospel Stellar Awards, she was right there in the front row. So it's always been love. Like my mom raised us to believe that you can have an argument, but it doesn't mean that you don't love your sister anymore. You can disagree, but you're still family. Right. We don't throw family away. You know, and, you know, I'll probably hold a grudge longer than Tina would. And she called me and she go, hey, stupid, you still mad? Pick up the phone. But to the point to where we don't want to work together anymore. Never. And Tina together are fantastical. Like, our voices together, it's just, it's crazy. It's good. Like, how can I not want to do that? We're establishing ourselves as individuals because, you know, when you spend so much time together, you have to get to know yourself. And it's easy to lose yourself when you're in a big group with other people. And so I think this time away, not really away, but adding something else to it, has allowed us to grow in immeasurable ways that we are so excited. I can tell you, it's not a month that goes past where we don't say, man, when we do this next Mary Mary record, it's going to be bananas. Like, me, her, and Warren, who's my husband and been our producer since day one. So we're all anticipating the big return, which will probably be 2025. I probably shouldn't say that, but that's what
you said it.
But in the meantime, I'm doing solo music and a podcast and another TV show. And she's got music with her children, just a lot of other things. You know, you want to be well-rounded. And so you miss it a little bit. And when you come back, the excitement is great. The joy is great. You know, that feeling that we had starting out, I think we'll be there again.
So, in quotes, the cute one who can't sing went solo and you were number one again, like just recently. You were number one again as a solo artist just recently, won an NAACP Image Award. Congratulations. Yes. Grammy nominations again. Yes. Congratulations. How is it as the solo artist? Going out there and kind of spreading your wings. It seems like success just continues.
I love being me. I love embracing all of me, the good, the bad, and the difficult, the messy, the confusion, because that's what life is, you know? The reason I choose to be positive and confident is because I don't always feel that. And so when life wants to bring you down, you have to build yourself up with what you believe, right? And I believe that success is mine. I believe that love is mine. I believe joy is mine. I believe peace is mine. So I will sing that and I will pursue that. And because I want to share that with the world, I think that's what allows me the success that I have. Because I'm not selfish. This is not just about me. It's about touching someone's life and changing someone's life and letting them know the same way I've overcome my obstacles, they can too.
For somebody who's doing so much, it almost sounds disrespectful to say what's next, because there's already TV show and never stopped with the albums. You said podcast, you know, but I'm going to do it in the most respectful way.
Please
what's
do.
Next?
What's next? The new album is coming probably around my birthday, which is April 29th. I am working on that music. I am having merch conversations about other products and stuff. I'm working on a book, a children's book, that I'm actually sending over to the editor today. And I'm a creative person. So I do it in my sleep. My kids do it. My kids come in and tell me they make up songs. Like, my house is a creative house. It's what we do. But we enjoy it. It doesn't feel like work. It feels like fun. It feels like, I don't know. It feels great. We enjoy music and creativity and how to touch and encourage and change people's lives.
Some of the things that we do on The Pulse, we talk about the whole concept is use your voice for good.
Yes.
You know, and obviously that fits you. But tell us about some of the things that you've been doing. Like, you're actively involved in helping people. You do philanthropic work. You do share some of that with us.
So there's an organization called The Choice Group, and it is an organization that helps kids in the foster programs and offers them media training, digital training on how to create video games and coding and STEM and all these other amazing things. It is run by a young man named Dana Hammond, who also has a school, Academy of Media Arts and Sciences, which is doing great downtown Los Angeles, servicing these children from all over the LA area that wouldn't necessarily get this quality education. I love those children, love what he's doing, and all kinds of organizations. I just love helping people. So when organizations call and they say, we're helping young girls build self-esteem, I'm there, you know? Mm-hmm. And then you have my church. I have youth ministry and women's ministry and marriage ministry. We have something called Beyond the Walls, which I absolutely love. It is our outreach ministry where we go to grocery stores and we probably take about $20,000 mm-hmm. and we stand at the end of every aisle and we just pay for people's groceries and pray for them. Wow. And it's so amazing because sometimes people are surprised because they're like, you want to what? And we're like, pay for your food. Why? It's because we're not used to kindness. And so we're trying to extend as much kindness as we can. And so we go to several grocery stores around the Los Angeles and Inglewood area, and sometimes even the San Fernando Valley, and pray for people and pay for their groceries.
I wanted two more things before we wrap up. And I appreciate you taking this much time. I got to tell you that I was in a good mood when we got you on. But now I'm just smiling. I'm going to listen to some music, like the whole concept of energy.
Do all of that.
Right? Yeah. We should do this more often. We're going to have you as a regular segment. We end every episode of The Pulse, as I said, with that concept of use your voice for good.
Yes.
We ask everybody what use your voice for good means to them. What does it mean to you?
Use your voice for good means to extend hope in this kind of hopeless world, to give someone courage who doesn't have it, to be someone's cheerleader who needs it, to just smile at someone who hasn't seen someone smile at them, or maybe even tell them, I love you, to extend as much kindness as you can. The world sucks sometimes, but there's some good people in it. And if you can be the source of good for someone to just feel better in this day, in this moment, then you've done your part to help make the world just a little bit better, just for a moment.
You have made the last half an hour or so better. I appreciate you taking time out. I appreciate your energy, your success, the message you have for people, and the time that you took with us. Thank you very much for all you do.
My pleasure, and thank you so much for having me. I've had a good time with you.
Appreciate it. When you're in Philadelphia, come on in and hang out.
I'll be there for the Roots picnic.
Are you coming in for the Roots picnic?
Mary is performing, yes.
Okay, so then can we hold you accountable to that? You'll come in the studio and hang out with me?
If there's time.
Oh, she put the dot, dot, dot in there. Thank you so much. You have a good one.
Absolutely.
Hopefully we'll see you soon.
Absolutely, take
All
care.
All right, continued success. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Pulse with Bill Anderson podcast. Today with Erica Campbell from Mary Mary and so many other things. 10 million albums sold, success for over a decade. It was so much fun getting a chance to speak to her. And I just loved her spirit and her energy. And I hope you did as well. Make sure you hit the subscribe button so that you get a notification every Monday when a new episode of The Pulse comes out. If you're in Philadelphia and you would like to watch the show on TV, you can find us on Fox 29 Mondays at 6:30 in the evening. Also nationally on Fox Soul, you can find us on Mondays as well. And check out YouTube because all of the episodes are all there. Some great guests that you may not have seen. Take a minute. I am sure you will enjoy it. Thank you so much. Hit me up on social media if you have any questions, comments, concerns, guest suggestions. I love to hear from you. And I leave you today, as I always do, reminding you whenever you can, use your voice for good and have a good one.